We are so blessed this morning to have my dear friend. To many of you guys, you know him as Papa Joe. We're not that far apart, Nate, so I'll just call you Big Brother Joe. Joe Yuen, we ran into him in 1989, right?
Yeah.
1989 in Scotland on an outreach. And Joe immediately became a pastor to Laura and I, and then his wife Yvonne, who's here. Yvonne, wave to us. She jumped in and decided to love us too, and we have just been fast friends and partnering together. Joe's on our oversight board for our whole movement. He's a father to the movement around the world, and we thought, man, what a better way to land the plane, World Mandate 2017, than to have Papa Joe come and share the Word of God with us. All right, let's give it up for Joe Yuen as he comes.
Love you. Well, praise the Lord. It's really good to be here. We bring you greetings from Scotland. You're going to love the accent. As I always say, there's only two people in the world got an accent like this. It's Mel Gibson and me. And he's the ugly one. Okay. So, praise God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace over our lives today. And Father, thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that we're called. We have an opportunity to go. We have an opportunity to give our lives to you over and over and over again. Thank you for a great weekend. And Father, thank you for your word this morning. And we just ask that you would bless that to us and in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jimmy asked me to speak, he said, speak on faith for more, because we always need, and we sing it, you know, more, 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 more. We were singing it last night, and we need to have that faith for more of God and more than that of what God wants us to do. And I'm going to tell a little bit of my story today, and really it comes straight out of the Word of God. And Luke chapter 5, the first 11 verses, I'm not going to read them, but it's the story when Jesus is walking along the shore, and he's looking for a boat that he can get into. And now this is his third encounter with Peter, and so he comes along, and Peter's there, he's washing his nets, and he jumps onto Peter's boat, and he said, push it out a little bit, push it out a little bit. I want to speak to the big crowd, so I'm pushing it out a little bit to speak to you today. And hopefully we'll push it out a little bit more in a few minutes. But for me, that was, you know, my life, because I was a commercial fisherman. I left school 6 weeks before my 15th birthday. I went on this fishing boat, and there I was. That was me giving it a trial for the week's holidays that we had to see if I was going to make it or not. I nearly didn't make it. Because, a young boy on a fishing boat full of fishermen, it was a really tough life, and found myself at one point being physically, mentally, and emotionally, and sexually abused by one particular guy on the boat. So that was my story. I ended up with having tinnitus because I was so frightened at these guys that I slept in the engine room amongst the noise. I forgot all about that until about maybe 15, 20 years ago. And I'm sitting preparing a message to preach in the church, and suddenly it came back to mind, and I'm thinking, God, but don't I need some healing? Aren't you going to help me, Lord? And you know, do I need some counseling? Is there someone I can go to, Lord? And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, son, I healed you when I filled you. I healed you when I filled you. And we just need to allow the Lord to fill us. So I just got filled all over again and rejoiced at the fact that he had healed me as he filled me. And, you know, that I was a commercial fisherman for 17 years, and during that time, I married Yvonne. We've been married 45 years this year. Now, I've always said I would buy her a medal, you know, for all the years we've been married, but it would be so heavy I'd break her neck, so I can't do that. You know, I don't want to do that, you know, but that's one very gracious lady, let me tell you. And so, you know, we got married and we went to the Presbyterian church, and I remember standing in the Presbyterian church one day, well, sitting there, and it was Communion Sunday. We did it. We had communion twice a year. And I remember the minister, he was very, very good at preaching the gospel. That was his chance because, you know, people just used to come to put in their little form so that they would baptize their babies and they'd marry their kids and bury them when they die. So you always kept your card in, you see. But we were regulars, attender of the church. And when he preached the gospel that day, I was really convicted. And I said this to the Lord. It was around about 1976. I said, Lord, if you can do anything with this life, you're welcome to it. And I ate the bread and I drank the cup. Never thought anything else about it. And then and in 1977, I had this experience with the Lord. It was a Sunday, and Yvonne had got saved, and she had read the cross and the switchblade and got saved, met some YWAMers, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and she was on my case. You know, I don't suppose there's any other woman like that around here, but if you could just pray for her, please, she's on my case. And so she's on my case. She said, you're a Christian. I said, yeah, I gave my heart to Jesus when I was a little boy, 5, 6 years old, in a brethren church in our little town. And she said, but you say you're a Christian, but you're not very enthusiastic, are you? And, you know, that led to what we call a little intense fellowship that Sunday afternoon. And I left the house, you see. I said, that's it, that's finished, we're finished, and that's it, over. But I had to go back, you see, because I had to leave to go to sea that night, and I needed all my clothes. So back I went, you know, and just, you know, we reconciled all that sort of stuff. And then I'm on this fishing boat, and it's Monday lunchtime. I'm halfway across the North Sea, halfway between Norway and Scotland, and I'm reading the New Testament she gave me. I better get something going here. She'd given it to me at Christmas time to make me more enthusiastic, you see? And so I'm reading it, and I'm reading John 15, verse 6. Any branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he cuts it off, and he throws it in the fire. The little New Testament grew red hot in my hand, and I threw it away. And I realized that, yeah, I pushed the boat out a little by praying a prayer one day, but there was nothing happening. There was no fruit in my life. And I had the wheelhouse of my boat filled with the presence of the Lord. I found Psalm 139 to be absolutely true. Even if I go to the remotest part of the sea, he's there. And God met me on the bridge of that fishing boat that day. Well, the week went on, and I came home, and we told him on the story of what was happening. And then we got to, we had some YWAM friends came. We shared with them, and they had helped us a little bit. And then we were praying. We were in bed about midnight on the Saturday night. And we're praying together. You see, now, I was a good Presbyterian. I mean, we wouldn't even touch, you know. We wouldn't shake hands. We would bow, you know. That was as much as you would get out of us on a Sunday morning. You know, it was a little bit of that, and that's as much as you were ever going to get. And so I'm lying in bed, and I'd heard about Pentecostals, you know, they do weird things. But anyway, I'd heard about some of these kind of people. So I'm lying there, and, you know, Toronto hadn't happened then and all that sort of things. But I'm lying there, and then all of a sudden, I began to shout, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Now, the only hallelujah that I knew was hallelujah, that one. That's the only one I knew. I didn't know anything else. And so I'm shouting this, and then all of a sudden, I started to shake all over. I didn't know what was, I said, Yvonne, I don't know what's happening. And then the room filled with a brilliant light, and I had a blinding light experience in my bedroom. Now, at the time, Yvonne's 5 months pregnant, and I didn't know anything. So I said, oh, this is Jesus come to take me home. She's lying there, take you home? You're going nowhere. And so here we are. Here we are. I'm on my knees on the ground speaking to the Lord and just crying out to Jesus. You know something? You know what he did? He filled me with the Holy Spirit, never even asked me. Would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? We'll just come forward. Never even asked me. He just came and he filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Well, didn't you pray a prayer that if you can do anything with this life, you're welcome to it? And then I went to the Presbyterian church the next day. Now, we didn't touch, remember? I walked in, an elder standing there going, he's going like this, everybody come in. I walked up to him, grabbed his hand and said, praise the Lord. And he nearly fell over. And so we used to dress up to go to church then, you know. And so we're all dressed up there, and I'm upstairs, and Pentecostals, I heard they swung in the chandeliers. And there's this big chandeliers and a big chain, and I just wanted to let go. I was just so excited for Jesus. Yvonne's holding on to my coat like this. She said, please don't jump up, and please don't shout. Please don't do that. Don't do that. And so here we are. We're in this situation, and then our prayer suddenly changes. She says, Lord, I wanted him a little bit more enthusiastic, but this might be just too much. And we started a journey with Jesus. We started to push the boat out that little bit more. You see, to speak to the crowd, we can push out a little. But when he wants to speak to your heart, he takes you into the deep water. He turns to Peter and he said, Peter, let's go deep. There's something I want to do in your life. And then the journey began for us, and we wanted to do anything that we could for the Lord. We went to Youth with a Mission 1979. I'd left my fishing boat with the guy who worked with me. And we went there for 4 months and went on outreach in Spain. And we saw God do some great things. And we're just so thankful for all that he was allowing us to be a part of. and then it was after YWAM, we felt the call of God. We always knew we had the call of God in our lives. But I left the fishing industry and became an elder of a church. I sold everything. You know, I heard these words too. Lay down your nets and follow me. Oh, well, it's biblical, so praise God. I'm thankful for that. And then I'm pastoring about 15 people in this little church, town of ours. And 1983, someone gives me Keith Green's last newsletter on going, you know. And I read it, and I'm totally convicted. And so in my message that day, I'm telling the 15 people, I said, well, we need to be ascending, church. We need to go to the nations. And I believe God's going to send me first, because we need to lay hands on people with conviction. Because I used to be in the Presbyterian church, and we would send out missionaries like that, you know. We would just give a little bow, off you go. And there was no conviction in it. And I never, ever liked that when I saw it happen. So the Lord was going to send me. And this lady gets up and she runs, because Yvonne was looking after the kids. Said, you better get up there. Your husband's saying some stuff that you need to hear. And so I asked a friend, I said, I hear you go to India, can I carry your suitcase? So in May 1984, I went to India, deep water. We went to Mumbai, and so I'm with this friend of mine, and we're with this pastor, and he takes us to Dharavi. Dharavi is the biggest, used to be the biggest slum in Asia. It's right in the heart of Mumbai city. And so we're just talking, you see, and we're right in the center in a little church building, and it's about 100 degrees and about 90 degrees humidity, you know, 90% humidity and very hot, you know. And anyway, and so this pastor said, oh, if you get murdered in here, he said, they just bury you under the rubbish and your very bones disappear in days. They'll never, ever find you. I'm scared to death. I know if you'd be there, you'd have been great, but you weren't there. Amen? And so I'm scared to death. The biggest fear in my heart at that time was, Lord, if they offer me something to drink, what am I going to do? Because, you know, I might get poisoned. And I know you believe the end of Mark's gospel, but I didn't then. Amen? And I said, Lord, I don't want to be here. Didn't you say that if I could do anything with your life, that you were going to give it to me? There was a commitment to the Lord in it and what God wanted to do and what he wanted to see happen. And he wanted to take me into deep waters so that I could see some miracles and great things happen. Well, that night we went back. Oh, my friend said to me, after all this is happening, I'm listening to this, he said, he leans over, he said, you're preaching here tonight. First time in India, first day in India, and I'm preaching. I'm thinking, oh, my goodness me. So we arrive in the little church at night. It's dark. I'm scared to death, honestly. There's no faith in it at all. But that's just where I was, okay? And so I'm there, and I'm just getting ready to preach. I'm talking to this translator so you get my accent. Used to be a little thicker then, but I soften it for you guys. Anyway. And so, you know, it's like World Mandate up at the showground up there one year. We're having a meeting, and God's moving all over the place, and there's this lady standing looking at me like this. And I walk up to her, and I said, hey, ma'am, can I help you? Can I pray for you? She says, no, could you just keep talking, because I love your accent. Anyway, so the translator's getting used to my accent, you see, and I get up to preach, and then all of a sudden the drums start to beat on the outside of the building. They had loudspeakers on the outside. And I said, what's going on? He said, that's the Muslims have come to disrupt the meeting. I said, oh, let's go home. Let's go home. You know, and I'm saying, Lord, what's going on here? I mean, I just wanted to carry this guy's suitcase, but didn't you say, son, that if you could do anything with this life, I was welcome to it? I'm just getting you into some deeper places with me so that I can work in your heart and in your life. And so I start to talk to this translator, and I said, so who are you? Tell me about your life. Oh, he said, my family live 2,000 miles away, and I've been sent here to this slum to look after some orphans. I said, who sent you here to look after? Oh, my mama told me I needed to come and look after the orphans. I said, wow. I said, who's your mama? He said, my mama is Amy Carmichael. I'm thinking, Amy Carmichael's son's going to be my interpreter the first time I'm speaking to India. I'm going home, you know? But anyway, you know what Amy Carmichael's prayer was? Give me a love that leads the way. Give me a hope that nothing can dismay. Give me a faith that no disappointment tire, and a passion that will burn like fire. Let me not sink to be a clod, but make me thy fuel, O flame of God. We got through that and saw God do some great things, and you know, India's been a great place for me, and I started to go there in 1984. Traveled to India for about 15 years on short-term mission. Always kept missing Don Steadman. I don't know what he was doing, but he was never in the same place as I was. But we always heard of one another during those times. And, you know, it was now it was 1998, I think it was. And I'd arrived in India, and one of my friends it's a young boy that I met and prophesied over, told him not to let a lack of education stop him from becoming the great man of God he was called to be. And he was going to do great things for God. Well, he was the pastor now of 500 to 1,000 small churches in central India because he believed the word of God. And but anyway, he was in a road accident and he lost his leg. He had actually died, and Jesus said to him, "You need to go back because I've still got a work for you to do." And I was just going to visit them because we had bought him a prosthetic leg and stuff, and I was going to encourage him. Arrived at Nagpur at the airport, and at that time it was Shout to the Lord was the great song of the day. And so I'm in the back of this rickshaw, you see, and I live by the principle that God loves the crows as well. So I'm just singing out there, you know, and shouting to the Lord, just so great to be in India again. And this guy's driving down the road and he keeps looking back at me and wondering what the noise was. But anyway, he turns to see where I was going, and he drives the thing right into the ditch, and it all falls over on top of my hand and on my leg. And so the next I know that the pilot had stopped to help me. He wrapped a handkerchief around my hand, and I'm in another one of these three-wheelers, and I'm on my way to hospital. And so I arrive at the hospital, and all the believers are there, and the pastor, he had on a fishing jacket. I was going to Uzbekistan, so I had American dollars here, I had British pounds here, I had rupees, and I had my passport. He said, "We better take that off in case it's stolen." Stolen? Would you? I'm in hospital. Oh, if they know there's a white man in the hospital, this could be trouble. Could I just go home, Lord? Didn't you say to me, son, that you were going to give your life to me and I could do anything with it? Wasn't there a covenant between you and me and that and what you wanted to, you wanted me to do in your life? And the pastor said, we were going to have a, well, this hand here, they were going to give me a general anesthetic just to clean it. And I said, you're not touching me until I've spoken to my wife. And at that time, there's no cell phones, you know. You put in the call, 10 minutes later, you might just get through. And anyway, that was all going on. And the pastor said, well, we were going to have a leaders meeting today. I said, we're still having a leaders meeting. Bring them to the hospital. Because I had the best room. White skin. Anyway, and we call it skin tax. And so I'm in this room, you see. So this time, you see, I'm lying there. I've got my one-legged friend sitting at the standing at the top of my bed. He came to encourage me. And then I'm lying down in the like this, you see. And this leg's up in the air and this hand's like this. And I've got all these leaders there. And I said, does anybody know Shout to the Lord? Let's sing it. And I said, has there anyone got a pain in their hand or in their leg? Because I want to pray for you. And this man came forward. He struggles to get down on his knees. And I said to him, now just put your head underneath that hand and we'll pray. Well, he's on his knees, and then he falls. It looked like a hospital. We had about 10 people all lying on the floor. This man gets absolutely healed of arthritis and a heart condition. You see, give and it shall be given unto you. Because when you give your life to God and say, do anything with it, he's going to do everything with it that he possibly can if you've got faith for more, and the more that he wants to do in you and the more that he wants to do through you. We have an opportunity today. You know, I had a word last night that there was maybe some people that have felt they've just, I missed it. If only I could do something. Go to the Go station today. You know that the first two letters in God's name is Go, and he lives within you? My goodness me, it must be exciting on the inside just to think that God wants to use you and wants to use me. If you want to go anywhere, come to Scotland. It's a great place. We'll even teach you how to talk differently. It's wonderful. And so, you know, in that experience, it was just amazing the stuff that God did. Here's a good one for you. I get this phone call. It's your wife, you see. And, you know, there's no wheelchair or anything. I had to go to the phone like this, you know. So I get to the phone, you see, and I'm standing there like this. And I say, hi, honey. And, of course, I'm just a typical guy. I'm lying in bed going, God, I think I could go home now, you know. I mean, I could go home a hero. I've got a bandage and I got a walking stick, you know, and I could really make it look good, you know. And they would think I was wonderful. But Yvonne's on the phone. And so Yvonne says to me, she said, I've got three words for you. I said, oh, great, three words. The brothers have been praying, they've been speaking healing, two words out of Jeremiah about healing, God's going to heal you. Oh, thank you. She said, and I've got a word and you're not going to like it. Okay, honey, give me the word. She said, you've got to endure hardship like a good soldier, and that means you don't come home early. And then it went dead. I never even heard I love you, you know. And here's me out there thinking I could go home. Oh, no, son, it's not time to go home because you made a commitment to me. You said that if I could do anything with your life, I could have it. And I want to use you. You know, back to World Mandate, you know, one of the things that happens when we used to be in Latham Springs and stuff, people would say, can I just follow you and watch you minister? I said, no, you're never allowed to follow me. That's my first candidate here. But what you have to do is you have to minister with me. That's the only way the anointing's going to come on your life. And I was given this young man one time called Colby Lehman. And he was to minister with me, and I was teaching him. I said, right, we're going to pray for this person, so put your hand on their head. Put your hand there. I said, now pray, just pray a prayer, and we'll puff out. And he's just newly into the deal, you see. And so I said, close your eyes. So he closes his eyes, and we're both praying for the person. The person fell out in the spirit, and I said, Colby, open your eyes. He opens his eyes, and he goes, the start of something great. That was the pastor that prophesied to Tracy Evans, I think, about Mozambique. I went from that hospital, I went to Delhi to see if I could make it to Uzbekistan. And then from there, I get on this plane, and Don Manales will tell you, I used to hate going through borders and stuff. But I'm on my own. I've got a bandage. I look as though I've got leprosy. I've got my walking stick, you know, and just really playing that one. And I'm pulling my suitcase and my bag and stuff. And I'm standing there in the midst of this airport, and they're paying bribes here, and they're doing that. I says, oh, God, I'm going to need your help here, Lord. I really am going to need your help. And I know I made a commitment to you, Lord, but help me. And then all of a sudden, from where they shouldn't have walked, this guy walks straight up to me, and he says, your friends are waiting for you on the other side. He walks past me, and I turn to look where he's gone, and he's gone. Couldn't even see him. But God knows what you need, wherever it is that he sends you, and whatever it is you need to do. And then, of course, I walked through, and there was Colby Lehman and Danny Mulkey. He should be Sir Danny Mulkey, you know. If he was in Britain, he would be Sir Danny Mulkey. He's an amazing guy. He always turns up when you need him. He's amazing. Give him a big round. Hallelujah. And then, this is just to let you know what happens when you minister World Mandate and stuff. I was staying in the same flat as Colby Lehman, you see, and he was sleeping on the kitchen floor because he'd given me the bed. And in the middle of the night, he was praying all night. He said, well, I just needed to sleep. And so I'm lying there sleeping. Then I'm waking up with this heavy weight on me. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what is this now, Lord? Is this a devil or what is it? I woke up, Colby Lehman's praying in the Holy Spirit with his hand on my chest. Just amazing how cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days, it'll return to you. And you'll see, if you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. And then we come to 1989, and this team was coming from Waco, Texas. Yvonne and I were on vacation at the time, so I didn't know all was going on. But when we arrived home, all my people, oh, you're going to love these people. You're going to love these people. And there was all these Texans all over the place, you know. And so it's true. We did. We grew to love them and stuff. And then Jimmy came and saw me, and we spent some time together in the Glasgow area. The next year, he had come from Romania when Romania had just opened. And I remember saying to him, because we didn't know what was going to happen in the church, the other church, and how, because there was a lot of transition going on. And I said, look, you just need to start a church. He said, no, I'm not going to start a church. Ha, ha, ha. Because the Lord does some great things in us. It started us on a journey and to see God move and to see God do some great things in and through our lives. And it's just the joy of working together, moving together. We've recently taken our little three churches up in the northeast of Scotland. We're now part of Antioch, of course. We're really in the family now, right? And you know, I said to my church last year, I said, listen, I'm not going to be your pastor when I'm 70. I'm going to the nations. Because what else is there to do? I could play golf, I could do it. But, I mean, we're going to the nations. There's some great things that God wants to do with in us and through us in some of these places. We could tell you story after story of the great things that God has done in the midst of that and all that he's done. But he took a fisherman, and he took him at his word. He took him at his word. You see, when you pray a prayer like that, God's going to take you at your word, because he wants to take you, he wants to use you, he wants to motivate you, he wants to fill you so that you overflow and so that you can touch the people around you and we can see great things happen. You know, let me just finish with this. Go deeper. You've got nothing to lose. You know what Jesus said? Peter said to Jesus, nevertheless, I'll let down my net for a catch. And you got to read it this way. Nevertheless, with God. There's always going to be a harvest. It's always going to be more than you think it might be. But you just got nothing to lose by diving in with the Lord in these days. Go deeper. You got nothing to lose. What you do will have an effect on others, you know, because here they are, they fill up their boat until they're nearly sinking. And they have to call their friends, and their friends' boat's filled up until it's nearly sinking. Jimmy, we're nearly sinking. We're nets getting full, we're nearly sinking. And what we find here, when you get sunk, or when you're sinking with success, it's then time to get on your knees again. And Peter gets on his knees and he says, Lord, it's a great miracle. He said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And Jesus said, hey, from now on, you're going to catch men. Because if you give your life to me, if you give me everything, then I'll take you to places that you'd never dreamed about going. I'll give you things to do that you've never dreamed of doing, and we'll see God move in and through your life. But it takes a commitment. It may be that I was a successful fisherman. I'm in the midst of a successful thing and seeing God, and then God comes in and he answers a prayer through the bread and the wine and a commitment that I made to him. What's your commitment to the Lord today? If you missed out on World Mandate, what's your commitment going to be? If you're just full of success, I can't leave this because, and yet you know the call of God on the inside, is it time to sink to your knees and say, Lord, I'm yours. I give you everything and all that you want me to do in these days. Let's pray.